Hello, my name is Allison Van Etten. I am currently a senior at Montclair State. I'm 25 and I'm an English major. Before I start my major topic, I just want to say that it is currently currently April 26th of 2020, which means it is the coronavirus outbreak, which means I am at my house and not in a room alone or in a library or anything. So I might get interrupted by animals or humans. So if that happens, that's why. But on to the actual topic of the day. Students with Disabilities, Socialization, and School Friendships. That is the title I have chosen. I hope it is good. And the lesson that I would like to teach, hopefully, is to learn the purpose of special education and how it affects the socialization of students with disabilities and the open-mindedness of their non-disabled peers towards interacting with them, with students with disabilities or people with disabilities in general. The questions I'm hoping to answer here are, what is the purpose of special education? What are the key differences between special education and mainstream education? And why are students placed in special education, or special ed for short? My rationale for this lesson reads as follows. Everyone's heard of special education, or whatever you want to call it, in the different part of the world you're from. But not many people know the reason behind it, or how it affects those with disabilities as well as those without. Because regardless of whether you know something or not, it affects you, and it can affect you by not affecting you. Weird. That's how life works. But not even do people not know about the education, like, of, you know, how it affects socialization. But a lot of people don't even know the history. For example, that before the Individuals with Disabilities Education Act, the IDEA, was signed in 1973, that disabled children being educated in public school wasn't even a law. It wasn't even mandated until that point. And also, although there were students with disabilities in public school, it was mainly just the school being nice and not a mandated thing like it was for their able-bodied peers. And in fact, before that, many students were, if they were lucky, they were homeschooled. They might have been educated in a separate institution, such as a blind school or a deaf institute, which, that's a whole different thing. That's, you know, like, they can be helpful, they can't, but that's a whole different thing. And then a lot of students were even in, or a lot of citizens, really, because they wouldn't have been students, weren't sent to educational institutions, but institutions, like hospitals, institutionalized, that adjective. And that happened to, a lot of disabilities, not just, you know, one specific one, including, you know, blind and deaf and all the others, although it was more common to happen to people who today we would call neurodivergent, so people with autism, people, you know, with pretty much anything, really, but especially neurodivergent people, because, you know, they didn't know the cause back then. It was a whole different thing, but it happened to everybody, which is the key thing. But first, before I continue on to the vocabulary, I want to talk about a little about my background. So I'm born blind. I was premature, along with my sister, and although she can see fine with glasses or contacts, I cannot. My right retina is completely detached, and my left retina is, the retina is basically like tinfoil, and mine's got a bunch of wrinkles in it, so it can't reflect light properly. And so it leaves me with nothing in my right eye, obviously, and then 20 over 400 in my left, which means what a person with, in the US, we would call perfect vision is 20/20. What they can see at 400 feet away, I have to be 20 feet away. I use Braille, I have a cane, that I use in every instance that I don't know the area. So I don't use it around the house or the grounds of my house, but I do use it pretty much everywhere else because it makes me feel more confident. It tells people that, hey, this is why I need help if I do need help. And so, yeah, that's, you know, my background personally. But in terms of school, I was in special ed basically my whole school career, except for maybe late high school, where I was allowed I think somebody asked me, like, do you think you need to be in this class? And they allowed me to trial in, like, I think English, the first time. And then I know I was in science and history and special ed the last year or something like that, because those are not my best subjects. The one thing I realized in retrospect about that experience is that I wasn't allowed to socialize with a lot of kids because, you know, I was just separated from them all the time, and it made it very difficult to socialize with a lot of my able-bodied peers because we just didn't share the same classes. So, like, you know, we didn't get to know each other well. But before I continue on to that, because that goes into the pros and cons of both special ed and mainstream, being mainstream, but I want to go over some terms that I'm going to be using and that I technically already have used. So we have academic language here. The Americans with Disabilities Act, the ADA, is a civil rights law that prohibits the discrimination against individuals with disabilities in all areas of public life, including jobs, schools, transportation, and all public and private places that are open to the general public. The purpose of this law is to make sure that people with disabilities have the same rights and opportunities as everyone else. And that was signed in 1990 by, and yes, I did have to look this up because I am an English major, not a history major, George W. Bush. So 1990, that's a present thing. Then we have the IDEA, which I've already talked about, a law that makes available a free, appropriate public education to eligible children with disabilities throughout the nation and ensures special education and related services to those children. And that was signed in 1973. I don't know who the president was. Again, I'm an English major. And then we have person first language, which I have used throughout this. But I haven't specifically stated that it was person first language, which is used to speak appropriately and respectfully about individuals with disabilities. People first language emphasizes the person first, not the disability. For example, when referring to a person with a disability, refer to the person first by using phrases such as a person who, a person with, or a person who has. So I said, I am a person who is blind. Although I might have said I'm a blind person, I kind of go back and forth because I'm lazy and one syllable is too is too much time. But it's mainly about the mindset here rather than the actual words. Like, they are important, yes, but it's mainly to spread the mindset of disabled people are people rather than their disability. You know, you can't, just like how you can't say, you know, white people can't dance, you can't say all blind people are good at music. I am tone deaf. Call that for breaking stereotypes, eh? You know, and I have a friend who is blind and he has perfect pitch and I'm super jealous. Ooh. And cell phone. There we go. So yeah, that's the main thing with person first languages. It is the language, but it's mainly the mindset of remembering that though a person has cerebral palsy or autism or is blind or whatever, that they're a person first, that they have varying interests and skills and all that stuff that non-disabled people have. So that's that. Then we have special education, which is the education of children who have physical or learning problems, and then mainstream education, which is this definition is in regards to disabled people being moved. So it says, moving a child out of a special education self-contained classroom and pull out programs and putting him slash her in a quote-unquote regular classroom. And the quote-unquote regular I appreciate here because it emphasizes the fact that though obviously when we say normal or regular or whatever, those type of words, we know we mean the majority. So, you know, most people, the regular classroom, as it, you know, as it stays here, is mainstream. with, you know, the major school population, etc. But it also emphasizes the fact that everybody has their own form of normality here. That, you know, just because, you know, for instance, just because, you know, a parent or a child might do something differently, that's their normal. You know, it might not be normal for most people, but it's the way they're used to living, and, you know, as long as it's healthy and, you know, not... Well, that fell. you know, as long as it's not hurting anybody, it's fine, you know? So if say, a blind mother goes to pick up her kid and uses an Uber or take the bus, that's their normal because the mom can't drive, you know? And it's nothing to be ashamed of. It's nothing to be criticized for. It's their normal, and that's how that works. You know, everyone has their own version of normality, and it's just the way it is, as long as it's healthy and beneficial to all parties, or, you know, like, the child and, you know, everything, you know what I mean. But now on to the pros and cons of, oh, sorry, one more definition, I missed one. It's on a different page. Universal design. This is something I haven't talked about at all recently, or throughout this lecture so far, but it feels important. Universal design. The design and composition of an environment so that it can be accessed, understood, and used by the greater extent of possible. To the greatest extent possible by all people, regardless of their age, size, ability, or disability. And the example of that I will go into later, but it's basically, you know, as it says, building something so it can be used by the most amount of people, regardless of their skill or ability or their age or their size, you know, whatever. But now we go into pros and cons of special education versus mainstream. And I feel like going into the cons is a good thing first, just because I like ending on a happier note here, because there are pros to special ed, but one of the cons that I ran into growing up was, two of them, was one, I wasn't able to really get to know people, I wasn't able to socialize with people, and so it left a lot to be desired when it came to my social skills and also my ability to interact with other people, as well as my able-bodied peers' ability to interact with me. I remember very, very vividly, sometime in high school, I think my later high school years, I think, I only had one real friend in school, and we shared a different lunch period. So every lunch period was basically a new day where I'm like, where do I sit? And I don't have, you know, like, I had no one to sit with, so I would usually just sit wherever there was a seat. And one day I happened to sit next to two or three girls, and I would just small talk to them, you know, how's your day, what's your favorite subject, that kind of stuff. And I can't remember their faces, because I suck at remembering faces, but I just got this vibe from their, you know, from the look, because you can feel people's vibes. I just got this vibe of, like, she can talk? And I was like, that just, like, ruined all my confidence, because I was like, no. And it just made me feel so awkward, and I was super embarrassed. And in retrospect, it makes me really see the extent of what separating the groups does. It makes them, it can make them just very awkward about interacting, and, you know, just not know what to say, and not realize that, like, people are people, and, you know, and, like, yeah, we can be awkward, but it's not a product of our disability directly, it's a product of the programs we're in, and the fact that we're separated from each other. Like, you know, you're not born blind and then automatically socially awkward. You are born blind, put into special ed, and then socially awkward. At least most people are, because they are not able to interact with people. And that was just a very, very keen moment for me. It was just stuck in my head all these years. But then, let's see. Oh, yes. The other pro, or sorry, the other con that I ran into in retrospect was that not everybody needs special ed their whole lives, and it's really hard to get out of because of the stigma attached to it. Like, I remember I was put into special ed seriously, I believe, around fifth grade, so when I was 10, for people who aren't in America. or, you know, in a different grade system, whatever. But I realize in retrospect that I wasn't given the opportunity to try being in a harder classroom, you know, academically, to see what I could really do. And it made me really happy I went to community college, first of all, because I was able to get to know like, college life and, you know, harder classes and such. But it really, really cemented for me in retrospect that, you know, you can't judge people on their, you know, on one thing of their ability. Like, oh, they're like, I mean, certain things you can, like blind people plus driving until self-driving cars get invented is just a no, at least when it comes to like actually being on the road and stuff. You know, I know of someone who drove around a parking lot when it was empty, but that's because they couldn't hit anybody, you know. But obviously I can't get a driver's license and there's a good reason for that. But that doesn't mean, you know, I can't cook and I can't, you know, be on the dean's list for, you know, at a university, you know. And so it's a lot of it is just where you're put in society and how, you know, how people view you and what they think your limits are. A lot of what everybody goes through is what people around them think they're capable of, because a lot of what you believe in yourself is what people believe about you. You internalize it and then you don't usually think of going any further. And so it means a lot when people say, you know, when I finally got into mainstream and I was, or, you know, some mainstream classes and I was like, cool, we're talking about Hunger Games. Cool, we're talking about, you know, The Road by Cormac McCarthy. And like, I understood everything that was happening and, you know, it was great. You know, yeah, it was cool. It was very liberating. And actually, speaking of liberation and such, there are some pros of disability, of special education here that I would like to discuss. The first is that for those who need it, for the amount of time they need it, whether that's their whole school career, whether that's their first couple years of school, whatever, it gives them the opportunity to get that help, because most schools don't have a good teacher to student ratio, at least, you know, if all the students had disabilities, because everyone's different and it's complicated and brain. And so being in a smaller classroom gives a better student to teacher ratio, or student to teacher / teacher aid ratio, whatever you know, what have you. And so it gives the students an opportunity to slow down and an opportunity to get the one-on-one help they need to understand material better, so they can be better after they get out of school, you know, because they fall behind otherwise, which is a great thing, and which actually helped me when I was younger, because I'm not good at math, and, you know, not my worst subject, but not my best, and so it helped me being in a small class, and it was cool. And the other, and this is something I actually didn't personally go through growing up, but the other pro for special education or smaller classrooms is that although it's not, you know, entirely able to happen, like me, because blindness is such a low incidence disability, which I always forget about because I always go to events with a bunch of blind people, but you're able to meet a lot of people who are like you, who go through similar experiences or the exact same experience, depending on what your disability is and what your life is, obviously. But being in a special education classroom ups those odds of meeting someone who's more like you. And for a lot of people with disabilities, unless their disability is genetic, they're not going to have the same life experience as their parents or their siblings. So it means a lot to meet someone where you can just go, man, you know this problem? And that person's like, yeah, that problem sucks. And they're just like, yeah, you know, I went to a summer camp for blind kids. We just call blind people camp, like between us all, but it's actually called Camp Marcella, in Jersey. And, I met a friend there named Lupin. And now like, he's one of the few people I can go to who I'm like, Lupin, like, PDFs are being a pain because they're just pictures and my phone can't read them and it's really annoying. And he's like, oh, that sucks, man. And I'm like, I know. And, you know, and then we work on it. And you know, it just feels good because like, but this is voiceover, by the way. You won't be able to read this as notes, music, FaceTime, clock. So that's voiceover here. And a lot of times, you know, PDFs and just technology and people are annoying and they don't work right. And you're just like, you know, I know there's nothing I can do about it, but I can't explain it to my parents. And it's just like, you know, it's sort of like going to high school with somebody and then you don't have to explain the layout of the high school or the teachers who were there. They just know already. And so you can just rant and it feels good. And it's very nice. It's very liberating to have someone who has gone through your life experience and you can just bond immediately with, you know, usually, because of course, you know, there are people who are blind that I don't get along with because we're just different people and stuff like that. But we can still bond over being, you know, like going to the same summer camp and having the same issues with people and stuff. And it's very, very nice. It's very, very nice. So what I basically want to get out of this is, or what hoping you'll get out of this is that people are people regardless of, you know, what their minority-ness is, or if they have a minority-ness, which, you know, depending on where they are, they might be the minority, because that's always changing, because as we discussed before, minority, the norm, is all dependent on who the majority is, so that's, you know, important to remember. And the biggest things I could recommend on a small scale that you can do is, if you have a classmate who, you know, who has a disability, or anybody really, again, because a lot of these rules are just be a good person type of stuff, but like if they need help and you offer and they take it, cool. If they don't, you know, if you offer and they say, no, I'm good, respect that, because, you know, it, like, they can do it. You know, and yeah, maybe they'll screw up and they'll be like, can I have your help? I actually can't do this. Fine. You know, then they just learn what they can and can't do. And that's cool, just like anybody. But it's really frustrating when you know you can do something and someone insists you can't. You know, it's just, you're just like, I do it differently, but that doesn't mean I can't do it. So respect their boundaries. Be nice. If they're not being cool, you know, call them out on it, because just as you don't want to be too nice to them, you don't want to, you know, too nice to anybody, you want to call them out on their crap, because if you've seen Glee, you know that people with disabilities can be bullies, and it's not cool, which actually reminds me of a topic I unfortunately forgot about just now, is the fact that bullying happens everywhere, and you need to keep an eye out for it, whether you're doing it, or, you know, you see it happening, or you are being bullied, be aware of it and stop it if you can, because regardless of whether you're in a mainstream classroom or in a special ed classroom or whatever, you can get bullied, and it sucks. I can tell you that from experience. And also, like, you know, despite what movies will tell you, especially, like, 90s stuff, not all bullying is, you know, getting beat up or, you know, having your books thrown on the ground. A lot of it is, you know, especially nowadays with technology behind the scenes, and I believe this is recently considered bullying, that it was, it's called social isolation, which is a lot what happened to me, where people just wouldn't talk to you, and, you know, and I don't know whether they intended it or not, or whether they do intend it, but, you know, where people just, you try and make conversations with them, and they ignore you, that's also considered bullying. And so if you see someone going through something like that, and you might know them a little bit, you might not, but, you know, see if you can find something in common, but hopefully doesn't exactly relate to the disability, because it helps to, you know, find someone who has the same music tastes or the same shows. Like, I'm currently obsessed with Disney's Tangled, the series. It's amazing. So if I found someone who was obsessed with that too, I'd be like, ah, you know? And so, you know, find something that you guys are both interested in, or, you know, if you know that, oh, they love photography, and you know that there's a photography club at school, maybe they don't know about it. Tell them, invite them, and, you know, maybe it'll help them get out of their shell and, you know, become better socialized and make friends, and it should be great. But in terms of the research you can do to help, you know, educate yourself more, is, I have three things here. Back to the subject of universal design, the first is a link to a playground in California that that is built for people of all ages and disabilities and abilities, and it's great. I wish this was around when my grandma was around, because she could have gone. Well, at least, you know, it would have been an option if we went to California. But it means a lot, because, you know, old people can go, young people can go, people who can't hold on to swings, they can go, because the swings are sort of roller coaster, high chair, or not high chair, car seat-esque, where they have a, you know, they have a, like a thing in the front to keep you in, you know, I don't know what the word is, harness? Maybe, I don't know, English major, I swear, but they have that, so, you know, so someone who can't hold on to the chains can swing, and it's just a very cool place, and I wish more places like it existed, because, you know, then more people would get to meet and make friends and stuff, and it'd be great. You can also research more laws at the second link, which is the, where is it? Safari, where'd you go, bud? Safari, here we go. It is the U.S. Department of Education website, which has a bunch of laws in regards to disability rights and the history and all that stuff. So if you want to look more into the details of those laws, you can do that. And then lastly, I have something you can watch and laugh at and learn from, which is a documentary that is recently added to Netflix called Crip Camp, which I'm not usually a fan of the word cripple, but it's funny here because it basically is that. And it's from the 70s, where that word was, I think, going less out of fashion, but still, you know, used. But it is a documentary available on Netflix about the disability rights movement of the 1970s, as well as the signing of the American Disabilities Act by President Kennedy. Bush, President Bush, in 1990. But this is rated R, so if you aren't 18, please watch it with an adult. And hey, if you can convince the adult to just be interested in the topic anyway, then it's a perk, because you get to watch it, and they get to watch it, and everyone learns more, and it's great. And yeah, everyone gets to, you know, meet and make friends and stuff. And so, you know, hopefully learning about all this stuff and, you know, watching these things afterward and maybe doing more research will help people, you know, you and people you know and just other people meet and make more friends and help everybody connect more and hopefully break down this barrier that's been built by the education system. And, you know, hopefully we can, you know, make a better, you know, school and world and, you know, more open-minded people and just be better, and that'd be great. So, thank you, and have a good day. Thanks for listening.